Yesterday, Bernie Sanders went to Bentonville, Arkansas. It's the Business News Hour for Thursday, the 6th day of June. Thanks for coming by, everybody. Which states will hurt the most by the potential tariffs on Mexican goods? We've got a list. The science of stopping a bullet. It's a story. A cruise line gets fined big bucks. You know that Chrysler, Fiat, Renault merger? Forget about it. Cars and debt. It's a scary story. 24/7 Wall Street just posted the worst cities in America, and we'll share some with you. Those stories and more. Plus, for the interview, we've got Mitch Henry, one of the key players behind the Iowa Asian Latino Coalition, a group that's grown from just 50 members 2 years ago to now close to 1,000. Mitch Henry and the emerging political clout of the Iowa Asian Latino Coalition. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AURION.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. The Business News is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the 6th day of June, 2019. It would be a Thursday, and this is the 75th anniversary of D-Day. Some called it the longest day. I'm your host, Michael Libby. If you want to reach out to us on Twitter, you can do that. We are at IOB_NewsHour. Me personally, yeah, you can find me on Twitter as well, at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled L-I-B-B-I-E. Let's get into it. Senator Bernie Sanders took his crusade against Walmart to the mammoth retailer's annual meeting yesterday, backing a push to give workers a spot on the company board. The Vermont Independent stopped in Bentonville, Arkansas, in the heat of the 2020 Democratic presidential primary to show support for Walmart's hourly associates. Sanders, who has long pushed the retailer to boost wages and benefits, sees condemnation of corporate titans as a way to separate himself from a crowded Democratic field. The senator introduced a shareholder proposal on behalf of Walmart employee and labor advocate Kat Davis that would make the company's roughly 1.5 million hourly workers eligible for board nominations. The Walton family, relatives of founder Sam Walton, who hold a majority of the company's shares, they oppose the measure. In a related story, though, Walmart CEO Doug McMillon thinks the federal minimum wage is too low. The head of the company's largest private employer is calling on Congress to raise it beyond the $7.25 an hour. Congress has not raised the minimum wage since 2009, but McMillon's surprise comments may give lawmakers an incentive to act. One other Walmart story. Walmart has announced it's redesigning the signature vest worn by many of its 2.2 million employees. Gone is the familiar blue vest with yellow trim. In its place, Walmart says, will be steel gray vests weaved from a fabric made of recycled bottles with trims in colors including green, blue, hot pink, and orange. The pockets on the vest are also bigger, letting associates carry equipment they need on the sales floor. And each, of course, has a big Walmart logo on the back, making it easier for you and I to identify employees. President Trump's plan to force Mexico to take a tougher approach to enforcement of its border by ramping up tariffs on its products will ripple through the United States, with consumers around the country paying more for cars, TVs, blue jeans, beer, fresh vegetables, and other products. For state economies, the impact of these rising prices depends on how reliant their major industries, from automakers to food producers to energy companies, how reliant they are on supplies from Mexico. A 5% tariff on all goods coming from Mexico is set to go into effect on Monday, unless officials from the two countries can work out a deal that will satisfy Mr. Trump. But yesterday, Mr. Trump said no deal was reached, so he plans to gradually ramp up his tariffs on Mexican goods to 25% by October. Now, that could cause significant pain for American consumers and businesses, even those far from the southwestern border. So what states will be impacted the most? As a share of its overall economy, Michigan is actually the state that's most dependent on imports from Mexico. Why? Largely because of the automobile industry has set up a complex North American supply chain that sends components and finished products back and forth across the border. Michigan imported $56 billion worth of products from Mexico last year, second only to Texas, which thrives on energy and trade and food and manufactured goods with Mexico. Kentucky is another state that would feel the impact. California and Illinois, with major population centers that depend on fresh produce and manufactured goods from Mexico, were also among the top importers. Additional states that import quite a bit from Mexico are Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, and Nevada. Well, time for some science. You know, when designing armor capable of stopping a bullet, the two most important factors are weight and resistance to penetration. But they're often at odds with one another. A thick steel plate can stop many projectiles, but at some point the weight becomes impractical for most applications. Well, now new research into a novel type of material is showing promise as both an option for powerful protection and a weight-saving replacement for heavy metal plates. It's a composite metal foam that saves weight, but also seems to offer protection similar to solid steel, and it could be the next big thing in vehicle armor. The material is made up of countless tiny metal spheres, which are actually hollow inside. A layer of ceramic is added to the outer surface of the metal, forming a plate. Now, the shape of the tiny balls inside helps the material absorb the kinetic force of a projectile and protect whatever might be sitting behind it, like maybe passengers in a vehicle. What makes this new material so great is that it's less than half the weight of solid steel plates that would offer similar protection. All that means that armored vehicles equipped with a composite material could be much lighter while offering the same protection to those inside. Gosh, see what you learn here? Carnival Corporation and its subsidiary Princess Cruise Lines has been ordered to pay $20 million for environmental violations just 2 years after it paid $40 million for dumping oil-contaminated waste into the ocean. The U.S. Department of Justice ordered Carnival to pay $20 million in criminal penalties for dumping plastic and other waste overboard, and it said it will be subject to enhanced supervision after admitting to violations of probation. By the way, Carnival reported $18.8 billion in revenue last year, according to its most recent annual report. Fiat Chrysler has withdrawn an offer for a merger of equals with Renault, and people close to the negotiations between the two companies are pointing the finger at what they describe as meddling by the French government. The sudden move was announced in a statement released by the Italian-American automaker shortly after midnight European time that said that while Fiat Chrysler management remained firmly convinced of the rationale behind the proposed merger, and it said, quote, "It has become clear that the political conditions in France do not currently exist for such a combination to proceed successfully," end quote. Fiat Chrysler's decision to withdraw the proposed came suddenly. The two companies, less than 3 hours earlier, were preparing to issue a joint statement that said the merger plans were going to move ahead after receiving approval from the Renault board. The sticking point? Well, France wants to protect French jobs. Speaking of vehicles, people buying a new vehicle are borrowing more and paying more each month for their auto loan. Experian, which tracks millions of auto loans each month, said the average amount borrowed to buy a new vehicle hit a record of $32,187 in the first quarter. And the average used vehicle loan also hit a record of $20,137. As a result, the average monthly payment for a new vehicle continues to climb to a new high of $554 a month and a record $391 a month for used vehicles. And what's even more surprising, there hasn't been a slowdown in loan demand. In fact, loan volume is up from previous years. With sales of new vehicles moderating slightly after the four best years the industry has ever seen in the United States, dealers and auto executives are watching whether consumers will be more resistant to the steady increase in new car prices. But clearly, that's not happening. However, here is something interesting. According to Experian, while new car sales and loans are still strong, people with the best credit scores are increasingly buying a used model instead of new. 24/7 Wall Street created an index consisting of over two dozen measures to identify the worst cities to live in every state. The list includes cities, towns, villages, boroughs, and census-designated places. They did not include places with fewer than 8,000 residents. For many of the cities on the list, the problems are serious and deeply entrenched. In 23 of the 50 cities on this list, the violent crime rate is higher than in at least 90% of all other American cities tracked by the FBI. And in another 8, violence is more common than at least 75% of U.S. cities. The effects of violent crimes like robbery and aggravated assault can extend beyond their immediate victims, often pushing down property values and driving out business. In many of these same cities, real estate values are depressed and unemployment is soaring. Now, time doesn't allow us to track each city, but here are the most depressed cities in the near Midwest. In Illinois, the worst city in which to live, according to this analysis, is East St. Louis, one of the most dangerous cities in the United States. There were 2,700 violent crimes for every 100,000 people in the city in 2017, more than 5 times the statewide violent crime rate. In Indiana, it's Gary. More than 1 in every 3 residents of Gary, Indiana, live below the poverty line, more than double the 14.6% state poverty rate. Crime tends to be more concentrated in poorer areas, and Gary's violent crime rate of 621 incidents per 100,000 people is higher than at least 25% of all American cities. In Iowa, it's Keokuk. As is the case in many of the cities on the list, Keokuk's population is shrinking. In the past 5 years, the number of people living in Keokuk fell by 2.5%. Reduced demands for housing is likely to drag down real estate values. The typical home in Keokuk is worth just $67,000. That's less than half the median home values of $137,000 statewide. More than 1 in every 4 area residents in Keokuk live below the poverty line, compared to a 12% poverty rate across the state as a whole. In Minnesota, according to 24/7 Wall Street, the worst city is St. Paul. The study shows that in St. Paul, there were 651 violent crimes for every 100,000 people. That's more than double the violent crime rate of Minnesota as a whole. Crime is often concentrated in poor areas, and in St. Paul, over 20% of the population lives below the poverty line. That's nearly double the 10.5% statewide poverty rate. If you're interested in the rankings of your cities in your state, Google 24/7 Wall Street Worst Cities. We're just seconds away from a conversation with Mitch Henry, one of the founders of the Iowa Asian Latino Coalition. We're going to learn a lot about this relatively new organization that has just tons of clout in the caucus state of Iowa. Mitch Henry, coming up next.